We welcome you to this week's service from Morrisville United Methodist Church. This week, Pastor Glass preaches on the fact that God is with us in the journey, no matter what is going on, whether it be good or bad, much like the disciples in the scripture. We will now join Pastor Glass with this week's sermon entitled Traveling Companion.
Hello, everybody.
Good morning.
Welcome to Morrisville United Methodist Church. My name is Beth Glass, and I'm the pastor here. And I am truly honored that you are joining us for worship today, whether you are here in person or you are joining us online. I hope everybody will find this to be a warm and welcoming experience that draws us closer to one another and closer to God. If you're new to our church family, I'd like to extend a special word of welcome to you. And if you are new to our church family and you're joining us in person, I'd also draw your attention to the visitor cards that you can find in the pew rack. If you'd like to fill out one of the cards and provide whatever information you're comfortable sharing, we'd be grateful for that because it gives us a chance to get to know you a little bit better. If you do fill out one of the cards, I invite you to hold on to it until later in the worship service when the offering plates are passed through the sanctuary. You can place the card in the plate at that time, and we thank you for that. Also, these cards are really helpful if any of your contact information has changed and you need to update it. You can use one of the cards to let us know if you have a new cell phone number or if you've recently moved and have a new address, and we're grateful for that as well. The gospel lesson for today comes from Luke chapter 24, verses 13 through 35. Now, on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body, there they came back and told them that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him." Then he said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory? Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures." As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening and the day is now nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated, please. So I want to welcome all of you again as we are gathered together on this third Sunday of Easter. And I hope everybody will find something in our time together that strengthens us for the coming week. Wherever you find yourself this morning, whether you come here with joy today or with worry or with something heavy on your heart, I want you to know that you are not alone here. As we hear today in the gospel reading, sometimes it is in walking and wondering and even in the midst of grief that Christ comes alongside of us in ways that we do not immediately see. Last week, many of you noticed that I was wearing glasses instead of my normal contact lenses. I had to switch to my glasses because I was using eye drops that don't agree with contact lenses. But I discovered that my eyeglass prescription is a little out of date. And so as I was standing here on Sunday morning looking out, your faces were blurry to me. And driving was a little bit of an adventure, too. I made sure that I stayed on the roads that I know very well because I couldn't read street signs from a distance very clearly. My eyes just were not seeing things as clearly as they normally do, and it made me think how much we rely on being able to see clearly and how disorienting it is when we cannot do that, when things are right in front of us and we cannot see them. Which brings us to the gospel lesson for today, the story of two disciples who were walking alongside Jesus, but they could not see Jesus clearly, even though he was present with them. And that's what we're going to be looking at in today's sermon entitled Traveling Companion. But before we go any further, will you pray with me, please? Holy God, not because of me, not through me, but in spite of me and all of my shortcomings, let your perfect word come to your people. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, Amen. So we did just hear the gospel lesson from Luke, and we are introduced to two disciples who are making their way from Jerusalem on the day of the resurrection to Emmaus. They are not walking with hope or a sense of excitement or a sense of expectation. Instead, they are weighed down by grief and by sadness. And I think it is that grief and that sadness that has clouded their vision. Sometimes when we are grieving, sometimes when we are sad, it is hard to see things clearly. As they walk along and they're trying to make sense of all of these things that have happened and how the hope that they had placed in Jesus as their Savior and Messiah seems to have been dashed by the events of the crucifixion, Jesus comes alongside them, and he journeys with them in their grief. And yet, even though Jesus is there with them, they do not see him clearly. And yet he stays with them, and he speaks with them. He shares their journey with them together. He speaks words of hope through the scriptures to them. Finally, they come to the village together, and the disciples prepare to stay for that evening, while the traveling companion, whom they do not recognize, prepares to go on. But they invite him to stay, and he breaks bread with them. And it is in the act of breaking the bread, as he takes it and blesses it and breaks it, that their eyes are opened, and they recognize the traveling companion who has been with them is, in fact, Jesus, and he has been with them in their grief and in their confusion all along. Kate Braestrup is the author of a book entitled Here If You Need Me. It is a wonderful book. I highly recommend it if you'd like to read it. She recounts her own journey through grief. Her husband was a state trooper in Maine, and he was killed suddenly and unexpectedly. Kate was left to raise their four young children by herself. Now, her husband had been studying to become a pastor while he was serving as a state trooper. And as part of her journey, Kate ends up going to seminary herself, and she becomes a chaplain working with the Maine Warden's Office. And in her role as a chaplain, she spends many times being with people in the midst of their grief. When a loved one with a heavy heart wanders into the woods with a loaded gun. The grief is unimaginable. When your child's footprints end at the edge of the water and the body is missing, the grief is unimaginable. And what Kate learned through her own grief and through the grief of those to whom she has ministered is that sometimes it is simply in the presence of others that we encounter the presence of Christ in our midst. And we know that we are not alone. The book closes with a story about an elderly woman with Alzheimer's, and Kate calls her Corinne. Corinne went missing in the woods, and the whole community turned out to search for this woman. There were teams of police officers and sheriffs and deputies and wardens. There was a group of Marines who had been waiting to be transported to Iraq, and they turned up for the search. The local high school soccer team canceled their evening practice, and the players showed up to help with the search. There were volunteers who were used to being a part of that search who came with their dogs to help out. And then there were the folks in the community who were not physically able to help with the search, but they showed up with pans of lasagna and Jell-O and bread. And they set up a command post in the local fire hall. And the teams went out in different grids with pictures of this woman staring somewhat vacantly at the camera, desperately trying to find her. Her 50-year-old son joined one of the teams, saying it would be easier for him to try and join the search than to wait around not knowing what happened to his mother. Kate never tells us whether they found the woman or not. But she says that at the end of that day, when the weather was hard and the people were exhausted and they came back in to gather their strength before they would go out to search again, the woman's son walked into the fire hall and looked around and saw Marines and soccer players comparing their blisters to one another and saw the pans of lasagna and the plates of Jell-O and the bread. And he said, "Everybody is here. It's a miracle." It was in the presence of all of those others that Christ showed up in their midst. And that sounds a lot like what happened on the road to Emmaus, doesn't it? It was in the presence of others that Christ showed up in their midst. It's then that they realize that they're not alone. And Jesus has been with us the whole time. I was not able to attend our women's group meeting yesterday. I was actually at a baby shower for our son and his fiance. But I did get to see the notes from that meeting. Thank you for sharing them. And one of the things that we do at our women's meeting is share God moments that we have experienced. And what struck me about the notes from yesterday's meeting was that again and again, people talked about experiencing God in the presence of others. Sitting with somebody and not necessarily giving advice, but just being there for them. Listening to somebody share their problems and just being there for them. Letting people know that they are not alone in their suffering. Those are God moments. Those are the times that we experience the presence of Christ. So here's what I will say to you this morning. Whatever challenges you are facing, you are not alone. Jesus is walking beside you as a traveling companion, whether you see him or not. We don't always see him in our grief or our confusion, but I want you to know, you are not alone. Will you pray with me, please? Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks that you do not leave us to walk alone. When our vision is blurred, when grief clouds our hearts, when we struggle to understand where you are already there, walking beside us. Open our eyes, God, not always to see perfectly, but to trust deeply that you are with us every step of the journey. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Invite you to affirm our faith in Christ who is always with us as we join together in the Statement of Faith of the United Church of Canada. You'll find it on the screen. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us show our thanks for the abiding presence of Christ with us as we offer up our tithes and our offerings. And I want to tell you, wherever you walk, even it's through the valley of the shadow of death, you do not walk alone. You have the assurance that Christ is with you. And I send you out with that assurance, and I send you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's service. Mooresville United Methodist Church has services at 10 a.m. every Sunday. You can participate along with us either in person or online via our Facebook page at www.facebook.com/MooresvilleUMC. If you'd like to support MUMC financially, there are a variety of ways. You can give in person, online at www.easytithe/MooresvilleUMC, or by texting DONATE to 540-300-1616. Sermons can also be seen via the church website at www.mooresvilleumc.org. Audio versions of past sermons get uploaded to the church website regularly. If none of these options work for you, you can listen to the sermons on the radio on 97.9 FM in the church parking lot. In unprecedented times like these, we pray for your safety and we remind you that the road you travel always leads you home. Have a blessed day.